Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Kavanagh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Joining me today at the roundtable is musician Craig Brenner. Craig, thank you so much for being here, and I just want you to tell everybody out there a little bit about yourself.
All right, well, thank you for having me, Alice. I'm Craig Brenner from Bloomington, Indiana. I'm a musician. I play piano, mostly non-classical styles of the early 20th century on to contemporary. I play solo piano, and I also have a band called Craig Brenner and the Crawdads. And I'm a member of a band that's been around for about 30 years called the Raging Texans. We play periodically also.
I've heard of the Raging Texans, and I think I've actually heard you guys perform before. But, you know, you mentioned the styles of music that you play, and that makes me wonder, when did you first know that your destiny was to be a musician?
Well, I've thought about that question. It's sort of hard to pinpoint an exact moment, but I know that from a very early age, I was attracted to the piano because my mother played piano, and we had a player piano.
Oh,
so
wow.
From the age of 4 and 5, as soon as I was able to get up on the bench and reach the pedal mechanism, I was able to play some piano rolls. And so growing up, from the time I was in maybe first and second grade, I started taking piano lessons.
Wow.
I didn't think it was going to be as important to me then until I continued to play music growing up, and I went to college several times. The first time I went, I played in bands to make money, but I didn't major in music that time.
Okay.
So I think it was sometime after I had graduated from Florida Southern College with a degree in political science, and while I was teaching school in Miami, I was in my early 20s, I decided to go back and study music and piano as much as full-time as I could while still teaching.
Wow.
So that's sort of what happened. Is after teaching for 4 years, I gave up my contract to go back and study music full-time. And then one thing led to another. I moved to Indiana to go to the School of Music in Bloomington.
Right.
And I've been there ever since.
Okay.
But music has always had a very strong pull. I just can't tell.
Yeah.
Like at a precise moment.
Yeah, but from childhood, that's been something that has been a part of your life. That's so cool, because that love of when you're a child, I think you just have such a freedom to love what you love, and that you've kept that with you your whole life is just wonderful. So you live in Bloomington now, but you're not from Bloomington, correct? Is that?
That's right.
Yeah.
I moved to Bloomington from North Miami Beach, Florida, in the 70s.
Okay. The reason I like to ask questions about where people lived and where they're from is because I've lived a lot of places in my lifetime, and all of those places affect my art, whether it's my poetry or my painting or whatever, that's influenced me. You know, all the places I've lived have influenced me. And so I like to hear a little bit about how you feel Florida and Indiana have influenced your musicality.
Well, certainly when I was growing up in North Miami Beach, I was introduced to a lot of Latin-influenced music.
Right.
There was radio stations from Cuba that we could get on our AM radio easily at night, and I would listen to a lot of Cuban music, and I still love those rhythms.
Yeah.
And I don't really play that many Latin rhythms on the piano, although I have in one recording I wrote a piece called Suave Agave, and another one called The New Latin Swing, which both feature some very heavy Latin-influenced music.
That's very cool.
As far as Indiana, when I first moved, I had intended, and I ended up studying classical piano there.
Okay.
So, but while I was there, I ran into this man named David Baker, and he was really instrumental in helping not just me, but a lot of people learn more about jazz. He could break it down into its component parts. And yeah. So I sort of gravitated more towards that, although I still studied, and my recitals were all classical in nature. I didn't do any jazz recitals while I was at the school. But then after I left the IU School of Music, I heard about this thing down in New Orleans called the New Orleans Jazz Festival.
Yeah.
My friend Jim
Nang
told me about it. And I became attracted to a lot of the piano stylings of people who were from New Orleans.
Yeah.
And they're still a very important part of what I love. So my music has sort of shifted from, you know, playing like Bach to jazz to New Orleans style. Then it took a turn to boogie woogie, which is basically is the same as New Orleans piano, but without the New Orleans left hand rhythms. Anyway, it sort of evolved.
Yeah, but all of that was influenced by what you heard and where you were and the people you were with, and that is the kind of stuff that makes every artist an individual. I really believe that.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.